Don't I'm gonna stay there a minute. Thanks. Outside in the foyer there, by the door, there is a gold box. I don't know if you're all aware of it. That gold box is there for suggestions. If any of you have a question or an item or a topic that you would like a sermon preached on or something of interesting to you, put that in there and I look at those. Someone put a suggestion in there and it's there. It says, we need to have an old-fashioned hymn sing. So whoever put that suggestion in, we're going to do that right now. We're going to take two hymns, two requests. So the first two I hear, we're going to sing the first verse or a verse of two hymns that I hear. Just pick something and shout out a number. Yes, Layton. Number one. Okay, that's always a good one. How great thou art. Okay. It's always a good hymn. Number one, Thelma, verse one. What is it, Sandy? 421. Thank you. I have decided to follow Jesus. This is our theme. We sang this in Sunday school this morning. So the Lord must be pressing upon our heart the needs to follow him this morning. And this was one of Jack's favorites, wasn't it? Thing for us all to remember that following Jesus, no turning back. Thank you for your participation there, and we'll do more of that as we prepare for the Word of God this morning. The scripture is going to be read to us by Bob Reisdorf. Let's open our heart and prepare for the Word of God today. Thank you, Bob.
Morning, everybody. As the pastor said, I'm going to be reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may not be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. For the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance.
Thank you. We know that the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for its blessing to our heart, for inspiring it by your spirit to us, for for the words of the Apostle Paul, Lord, that have been encouraging us in our living today. So Lord, again, we ask that you would open our eyes, our ears to hear from you and to receive from you this morning what you have for us in your word, that our heart would be strengthened, that our spirit would be encouraged, and our faith would be challenged. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Bedtime prayers of children can be some of the sweetest times as you as a parent or grandparent putting your grandchild or your children to bed in the evening and going over their prayers as they get ready to go in to sleep for the night. And often a child's bedtime prayer would say something like this: Dear God, bless mommy, bless daddy. And they may say, on all year, yeah, dear God, bless the missionaries too. Amen. And then off into bed they go. Yeah, and that's cute. And the children do that. But you know, often sometimes our prayers can be the same kind of thing. Especially when it comes to praying for missionaries. Because we can say, Lord, bless the missionaries. And we go on. And that can be their prayer for the missionaries. And that's it. But you know, God wants us. And the missionaries really desire specific prayers. As you notice on the prayer chain, I send you the prayer requests that come from the missionaries. And oftentimes they have very specific prayer requests of items they want to pray for. But sometimes we can pray in very generalities. The Apostle Paul, as we get to this point of the letter, as he's coming to the end, and notice how he starts this, the very first word in chapter 3 is the word what? Finally. He's coming to the end. And Paul, being a good preacher, the word finally doesn't mean that he's coming to the end. You know, often a preacher will say in conclusion and then go on for another hour. You know, Paul says finally, and then he still has things to say. But he's bringing it to a conclusion. He's trying to bring everything to the bottom. And he's reminding them of all he had taught them so far. He wanted to end this part of the letter by asking for very specific requests of prayer for them. Praying that God, the church who he knew well, that he had established and spent a short time there teaching them, and now writing back, and he had taught them, and they had a connection and a relationship. And Paul now asking for them to pray for him. When Kim and I went to Uganda, it changed our perspective a little bit about what missionaries experience. Because often, before I went there, my prayer for the missionaries would often be the same thing. Lord, bless the missionaries and move on. But when we went over there, we experienced some things that we saw that prayer really makes a difference. And the missionaries count on that prayer and us being specific in our prayer requests for them. And Paul here is going to get very specific as he wanted this church to pray for them. And you say, well, what's that mean for us? Well, as it applies to us, when we pray for one another, often we too can pray for each other very generally. Even within the church, sometimes our prayers can be a very general prayer. But God wants us really to be specific. Now, that doesn't mean we have to know all the details. But it's more than, Lord, just bless so-and-so. Really, when we're praying for one another, there's certain things that we should pray for. And today, Paul's going to give us two specific prayer requests that we can use to pray for missionaries, but also to pray for each other. Paul's concern here was for him and those who were sharing the gospel. But these prayers go out for all of us as we, as a church, and as brothers and sisters care for one another. Getting specific about our prayer, the first way we can pray for the missionaries and each other is this. Paul's first specific prayer request is that we pray for the gospel to spread. When you're praying for missionaries, praying for the church, praying for one another, part of the Lord's prayer was that God's kingdom would come. That means that more people would come to know Jesus. And as you're praying for missionaries, as you're praying for the church, praying for each other, praying that God will use us to spread his word, to let more people come to know Christ. As he said here in verse 1, as Paul read, brothers, pray for us. That was the general request. But then he gives on a very specific request. He said, pray for us so that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored as it was with you. That's the specific request he was asking of them. And prayer is vital to the work of the gospel. All of us, every year, when we pack Operation Christmas Child boxes, and Kim prepares us for that and sets the goal before us, and we begin our packing, do you remember what Kim says is the most important thing to put in those boxes? Prayer. Remember that? And we as we pray over them, and then as we bring them together and we dedicate them before the Lord and send them out, bathed in prayer. And from the very beginning of that process all the way to the very end, Operation Christmas Child is built upon that importance of prayer, because Franklin and those involved understand, and we've seen firsthand how prayer has made that difference. How through the prayer of God's people, he's directed those boxes where they need to go. And that's what Paul is saying. Pray for the gospel to spread, because it's vital, it's important in the work of the ministry. Praying that the gospel will spread by the proclamation of God's word. And he said, pray that the message, that's the message of the Lord, or the message of the gospel, will spread rapidly. And that's one of the ways that the gospel spreads, is by his word being proclaimed. Whether it's through a shoebox, whether it's through our lives, whether it's through the preaching of a missionary or a pastor or radio, or a lot of different ways, or our life one to another. But praying that the gospel would be spread and that God's word will go forth around the world. Part of Operation Christmas Child as well is praying for favor, that the Lord will open doors and help those boxes get through other countries. And praying for an open door, and that means an opportunity for the gospel to go forth. There's a story, I want to tell you a story of a lady named Grandma Jones. And you say, but Dan, what can I do? How can I help spread the gospel? I'm sitting here, I'm maybe older, I can't talk too well, or I'm not very comfortable talking around people about Christ. How can I help spread the gospel? You know, what we can do is through prayer. And let me tell you a story about a lady who everybody called Grandma Jones. Not to be confused with Grandpa Jones from Hee Haw, but this was somebody different. Grandma Jones, everybody called her that. And she had a very close relationship with Jesus. She loved Jesus and dearly. And she knew that Jesus wanted people to come to faith in Christ. And she knew that the Lord wanted the gospel to go forth. But unfortunately, Grandma Jones was pretty much homebound. She couldn't get out. She was confined to home. She couldn't really have much contact with people. She didn't drive. She had no family to take her anywhere. But she had a desire that people come to know Christ. And that was a burden that God had put in her heart. So every day, Grandma Jones sat in her rocking chair. And as she sat in her rocking chair, rocking back and forth, she looked out her living room window at the people walking by her house. She knew that a lot of them didn't know Jesus, and that they would face an eternity in hell. So Grandma Jones knew she had what it had to be a missionary. She had the desire to pray. And so she would pray for the people that would walk by her house. And she would pray. And she looked out the window and she prayed for something, that somehow she would be able to tell somebody about Jesus. But she didn't know exactly how she was going to do that. No one came to see her. She couldn't get out. Very few people visited her. But yet, she continued to pray that God would open a door somehow for her to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. Grandma Jones began to pray that God would bring her somebody to talk to. And after a couple days of praying and no answer, what do you think she did? You think she stopped praying? Well, she kept praying. And one morning she was up at 4 o'clock because she couldn't sleep, and she was burdened so much about this, and she got up at 4 a.m. and she couldn't sleep, so she knew her days on earth were few. She desperately wanted at least one person to talk to, and if God would open a door for her. So she kept praying. And was God going to grant the prayer? Well, as Grandma Jones prayed, at 4 a.m, she heard a knock on the door. She looked out the window and she saw it was the deputy sheriff. And she went to the door, and the deputy asked her if something was wrong. Said, "Grandma Jones, is something wrong? I saw you were up and you were sitting in your chair and the light was on at 4 a.m. Are you okay?" And she said, "Oh yeah, I'm fine. I was just praying that Jesus would let me tell somebody about him." And so she sat down. She said, "Want to visit for a little bit?" So she sat down and talked with Grandma Jones, and they began to talk. The deputy then shared all the problems that he was facing on his job and all the stress that he was having, and he talked about their problems that he and his wife were having. And after listening to the deputy sheriff for several minutes, Grandma Jones said to him, "You know, you need Jesus in your life." And the deputy said, "Well, what do I need to do?" And she said, "Just pray and trust Christ." And at 4 a.m, she led him to faith in Christ. A person who didn't think she could make an influence or a difference, but she prayed that God would open a door for the gospel. And that's what Paul was asking, that's what Paul is teaching us here in specific, how we can make a difference in our prayer, is pray that the gospel will spread through open doors. And open doors is basically an opportunity for the gospel to be proclaimed and to be heard. Praying for an open door, but also praying for through a powerful message, because the message that we proclaim is the gospel, and pray that as the message is shared by missionaries, one way you can support the missionaries is by praying for them, that as they share the message of the gospel, people will hear that and respond. As the word is being taught by our Sunday school teachers here, or else as we pray that the messages respond and that people will hear and respond to that message. Because we have a powerful message of the gospel that changes life. And John Robb of World Vision Mission shared this story that I came across this week. And he tells about adults in Ethiopia in the Awash River Valley. I think that's how you say it. 2 hours north of Addis Ababa. I'm not quite sure where that is. But they were suffering through famine in Ethiopia. And in their desperation and in their suffering, they started praying to this giant tree, thinking that this giant tree would help them because the tree was flourishing. And they thought, boy, this tree must have a lot of good of our ancestral spirits in it. And if we pray and get on the favorable side of this tree, maybe this tree will provide blessing for us. And they worshiped the towering tree, and they believed that the Spirit had given it divine powers, and they would kiss it, and they would kiss the trunk as they walked by. And they spoke of the tree in hushed reverence terms, and the children said, "This tree saved us." Well, one morning, the World Vision staff, as they saw that, they said, "You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says in Matthew chapter 21:22, that if you have faith, you can say to this tree, 'Be taken up and removed,' and it will obey you." And they said, "Boy, we're going to ask in boldness." So they prayed. And it said, "If you have faith, you can say to this tree, 'Be taken up and removed.'" And they prayed. And soon the whole company would know that the Christians were praying about the tree. So 6 months later, guess what happened? The tree began to wither up and die. Its foliage leaves disappeared. And finally, it collapsed like a giant sunken tree into the river and went completely over. And the people, astonished, said to the missionaries, "Your God did this." And within a few weeks, 100 villagers received Christ as their Savior because of God's power that was displayed in result of their prayer. So Paul says, the Lord says, our prayers make a difference because we have a powerful message. We have a powerful God. as we pray in our, as believers, praying that the gospel will spread through the work of the gospel, believing that God will hear and respond to that. Also praying for a receptive heart. And a receptive heart means that as you're praying for brothers and sisters in Christ, particular loved ones particularly, and all of us, and I want to see your hand here this morning. If you have an unsaved friend or family member, raise your hand. Okay? And if you do, pray for them and begin to pray that God will give them a heart that is receptive to the Word of God. That's where it begins, that God's Spirit will work as we pray, and that a heart is receptive to the gospel, that he will, that when the word is shared with them, that they will receive it and hear it, that the stony heart would be changed for a heart that is soft and responsive to Christ. And the Lord can hear and respond to that. And we hear many stories of people that have unsaved loved ones that have prayed for years and years for them to come to Christ. And sometimes they come to Christ after the person that was praying for them died. But still, those prayers are heard, and God responds and makes the heart receptive. He said here to them, and Paul said, may the Lord, the message of the Lord spread rapidly and be honored as it was with you. That word honored there means having a heart that is open and receptive to the truth of the gospel. And sometimes we have loved ones that are so... they can't see, they're blinded by, and we got to pray that the Lord would remove that blindness and have a heart that is open and receptive to the message of the gospel. They can receive it. It begins with prayer. And the gospel is also proclaimed by a changed life. When he says here that it, as it just as it was with you, the gospel is proclaimed, that the word of God is spread through our prayers and through the proclamation of the message, but the gospel is also proclaimed by a changed life. And one of the most powerful witnesses to the truth and the power of the gospel, what Jesus can do, is a life that's been radically changed by Christ. And when your life has been radically changed by Christ and people see the difference in you and what Jesus has done in you, that's a witness to Christ and what he can do in the power of the gospel. And yes, we think, oh, people come to Christ through the preaching of missionaries. Yes, but people can come to Christ through the living of your life. Do you realize that? When they see the testimony of what Jesus has done for you. And so praying for the proclamation of the gospel, that the word would spread and the people would respond to it. That's what he calls us to. That's one of the ways in which we see it happen. The gospel spreads through the proclamation of the message, but it also is spread through the protection of God's people. Because as he asks the gospel, as he prays for the gospel would go forth, he says, yes, we need to pray that the gospel be proclaimed, but he also says in the proclamation of the gospel, pray that we will be protected. Because he says in verse 2, pray that we may be delivered from the wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith. And Paul makes it clear and acknowledges that not everybody loves Jesus. That's obvious, isn't it? We live in a world that not everybody loves Jesus. Don't we wish they did? But he said, not everybody has faith. And Jesus said, in this world, people, we're going to be hated. We're going to be ridiculed. We're going to be spit upon. Christians are going to experience, as believers in Christ, we're going to experience persecution. We're going to experience tribulations and heartaches that are going to come on us. And so Paul says we need to pray that we will be protected. In the Lord's prayer, the Lord taught us that. Protect us from the evil one. Deliver us from temptation. And we pray that we'd be protected from the evil one himself. From the one who is evil. And that is Satan. The one who really is our main enemy. The one who we fight against. When I was in Haiti in 1990, in a missions trip down there, we went out into various places and we'd be preaching in some of the remote places in the country. And I remember one night particularly, they took us into this little village, it was remote, and it was dark. It was after dark, and there was no electricity. And they had a little lantern up here in the front of the pulpit. That was the only light they had in the whole building. And they had a little gas lantern, oil lantern there for us to see as we were preaching. But as we were getting ready to go into the service, we were calling people in to come to worship the Lord, to hear God's word. And over to our left, they started banging the voodoo drums. And they started calling people to a voodoo service that they were having at the same time, and contrary to us, they kind of asked their voodoo spirits to. You talk about the little fear that put on you in the presence of darkness. And praying that God would deliver from the evil one. And missionaries face things like that all the time. But we have an enemy against us who hates Christ and hates the gospel. And his whole purpose is to bring destruction, to fight against us and the truth. And so, as you're praying for missionaries, as you're praying for each other, pray that we'd be protected from Satan. Not only the harm he wants to bring to us, but also the temptations that he likes to bring our way. And we'd be able to stand strong. Praying for against one who is evil, but also praying for protection from ones who do evil. Because in Satan's name, there are those who are trying to bring hardship to Christians, as we know. And this day, around the world, many of our brothers and sisters in Christ face persecution on account of their faith in Jesus. Many of the suffering that they endure because at the hands of those who hate Christ, for those who do evil. And we need to stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering and pray for their protection and pray for one another as well. As Paul is reminding us here, that we would be delivered from wicked and evil men. That God would put that hedge of protection around us, around his church, around those who love him, and protect us from evil. Bill Bright, who was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, told this story of missionaries Matt and Laura Higgins. They are missionaries in the country of Kenya. And in 1990, during the Mau Mau uprising, which gripped Kenya at that time, missionaries Matt and Laura Higgins had to drive through hostile territory on their way to the capital city of Nairobi. Well aware that many violent deaths have been suffered by people that had just traveled that same way at the hands of the Mau Mau terrorists. But after dark, about 17 miles yet to go till they got to Nairobi, the Land Rover where they were driving failed and stopped working. And Matt tried in vain to repair the vehicle. He couldn't get it to start. What would you have done in that situation? Well, the couple was forced to lock the doors, and they prayed for safety, that God would protect them through the night. And they awoke safely in the morning, repaired the car under the light of day, and traveled on safely to Nairobi. Thinking, oh, we made it. That was the end of the story. But some days later, they heard an interesting story from several individuals who were in contact with the terrorist group around them. And as Matt and Laura had slept that night, three terrorists had come upon them, intended to kill them, but suddenly the terrorists had seen 16 strong men surrounding the car, and so they fled in fear. Matt and Laura were puzzled about the identity of the 16 men because they didn't see anybody. They were there, they had prayed for safety, but they didn't see 16 men until they returned to America several weeks later. And they heard the thrilling testimony of a friend who told them this. And they said, on March 23rd, God burdened my heart for you. And I called the men in our church, and 16 of us met together for emergency prayer on your behalf. Isn't that awesome? And through the prayers of God's people at that moment, they surrounded them and they were protected from those who do evil. So Paul is reminding us how we pray for our missionaries, praying that the gospel will be spread for the proclamation, but also for protection of God's people. And he calls us to that and to stand with one another. So we pray specifically, this first specific prayer request is to pray for the gospel to spread. But secondly, it gets specific. He said also, we need to pray for the strength to stand. And as we pray for one another in our walk with Christ, for the missionaries who serve, for us one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to pray for each other that we have strength to stand. Because we are in a battle. Because you've heard me say many times, a Christian life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And we need that strength. We all go through those times when we get discouraged. We all go through those times we feel like giving up. We all go through those times when our strength feels like it's almost gone. And it's then that we say, Lord, we have the strength of others praying for us gives us the ability to continue on and run that race. Our missionaries need that strength. We all need that strength. As we pray for one another, verses 3 through 5, Paul then encourages Thessalonians. He says, as you're praying, pray that we for deliverance, for the proclamation of the gospel, but also we pray that for the Lord's strength and praying for that strength that we would find through the reliance on God's faithfulness. Because he said, verse 3, God, the Lord is faithful and will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And pray for each other that we rely on the faithfulness of God. Because when you're going through a hard time, you're going through a time of attack and you feel yourself under attack of the enemy, when you feel that your strength is gone, we feel you that the adversary is coming at you with all he's got. When you feel that you're in the midst of an adversity that won't pass, sometimes we can begin to question, where's God's faithfulness in the midst of this? We can begin to say, well, where's the Lord in the midst of this? And praying that we will rely on God's faithfulness, that he is faithful, he will not forsake us. That he is good, he knows what he's doing, the plan he's working out is for his best in us. And sometimes, though, we can lose sight of God's faithfulness in the midst of the problems we're facing, can't we? And so we need to pray for one another that we would rely on that faithfulness, that God will not forsake us, that he will do what he said. He is faithful to keep his promises. He is faithful to the end. He is faithful to complete what he said he will do. And he will bring it out. So rely on his faithfulness. Pray also for the strength to stand that we are through obedience to his command. We find that strength as we obey the word of the Lord as well, because he says in verse 4, we have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. When we need strength, we find that strength in the word of God. And by taking his principles and putting it in practice in our life and living it out, God's strength and his word renews us and strengthens us. And Paul says through the keeping of his command, we are strengthened through his word at work within us. So pray for one another. Pray for our missionaries that we will find that strength through obedience. That as we live the principles of God's word, our heart will be strengthened to serve him even more. And we find that strength to stand as well through the guidance of this God's Spirit. For in verse 5 he says, may the Lord, another part of this prayer, may the Lord direct your heart into God's love and God's perseverance, Christ's perseverance. That word directing is guiding, removing the obstacles out of our way. And praying that God would give us the guidance that we need in his love, to be able to persevere, to be able to endure and to endure what we're going through and see the faithful hand of God at work, and to have the strength to continue to run that race well. So yes, we sometimes have that general prayer, Lord, bless the missionaries. Lord, thank you for this day. And it's okay to pray that way, but God really wants us to pray in specifics. And Paul here, in sharing that to us, calling us again, praying for that very specific request for one another and each other, and our calling today, praying for the gospel to go forth, and that we all would have the strength to stand strong in Him, because we all face opposition and hardship. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this reminder in the Word of God that sometimes we need to be more specific in our prayers. Lord, we often confess to You that we do pray generally sometimes. Lord, just bless so-and-so. And You know the need. But in us being specific with You, Lord, it shows that we're serious about our prayers. And we're praying, Lord, out of a heart that is passionate to You. So, Lord, we pray, as we pray for our missionaries who are serving You, those who are in the front lines, we pray that the Word of God would spread through them, that the message of the gospel will go around the world, that the kingdom will grow, that many more believers will come to trust in You, that the kingdom of the church of Christ will grow around the world. Lord, that the Word of God and its power will be proclaimed, and people will see the difference and their lives will be changed. We pray for those open doors of opportunity, either through us, that You would bring people our way, through the missionaries, Lord, who are serving You, through our church, that You would just bring open doors of the gospel, opportunities for people to come to know You. Lord, we pray for receptive hearts. We pray for those that we know within our family and loved ones, Lord, that don't know You, that their heart would become receptive and open to the truth of the gospel, and that the Word of God would be shared with them and they'd have the opportunity to respond. Lord, we pray for protection for those in harm's way, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, who are persecuted even now. We pray that You would protect them from the evil one and from those who intend to do them harm. And Father, we stand with them and we pray as well as You taught us to pray. Protect us from the evil one and deliver us from him and from temptation. And Father, we pray as well that our faith would be strengthened, that we'd have the strength, Lord, to continue to run the race well, to finish the course laid out for us. Lord, as we trust in and rely on Your faithfulness that is new and restored to us every day. And Father, we pray for those in the front lines, Lord, whose strength may be weary right now. And for even those within our church here today whose strength may be weary, that You would give us the strength that we need to continue to run the race and to do in what You've called us to do in faithfulness to You. And so, Father, we lift up one another, thanking You, Lord, that You hear prayers of faith in accordance with Your will, and You respond to them and answer them, bringing glory to Yourself. So, Lord, we ask these prayers together in faith, believing through the name of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.